Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
A reset of the prophetic movement is upon us. The second wave of prophets is rising in this hour. We stand at the edge of a new era in the prophetic. We're gathering the international prophetic community at the Global Prophetic Center, a hub for prophetic training, prophetic labs, summits, networks, and lighthouses. It's time for prophets to go deeper. It's time for seers to soar. It's time for prophetic voices to rise up and decree what says the Spirit of God with accuracy that causes the world to pay attention. The Global Prophetic Center offers proven prophetic systems and structures to equip you to walk worthy of your calling and to prophesy with precision, boldness, diplomacy, and wisdom. Get hands-on training and mentoring in a safe environment that breeds true prophetic community and learning. Receive impartation and activation. Sharpen your gift and avoid prophetic pitfalls. Get commissioned. Get networked. Get sent out with the word of the Lord in your mouth and the confidence to release it. Begin your journey today by applying at globalpropheticcenter.com. Jennifer LeClaire here. You can see in the spirit. I want to invite you to take the Seer Activation Challenge, 30 days to clearer spiritual sight. I'm going to be on board doing Seer Activations with you, guiding you through biblical entryways and much, much more. You can opt to take the Seer Activation Challenge at tinyurl.com/seeractivation. tinyurl.com/seeractivation. You can also opt to get these three books, Seer Dimensions. You can get Power Seers. This just came out. Keys to Upgrading Your Prophetic Vision. And you can get Seer Activations with 101 Seer Activations and a whole lot more teaching. I want to challenge you to see what you've never seen before. God wants you to be able to see in the Spirit. Open your eyes to the Seer Dimensions in Jesus' name.
Jesus has always been an advocate for women. And we see in the New Testament, Paul being raised up as well. And right from the beginning, right in Genesis 1, we see gender equality. And yet, since the fall, women have been an oppressed people group. In this hour, we are seeing God breathe upon the emergence of women to be everything that He created them to be, not to usurp men, not to overtake or anything like that, but just to be what He created them to be and to labor alongside of men as one. Today with us, we have Dr. Brian Simmons, author of the Passion Translation. Awesome to have you back with us again.
It's good to be here.
And we're going to go into this whole issue of women and God's love for women and what His intention was for them from the beginning and how you in the Passion Translation, which is an amazing translation. If you have not been with us for previous programs on this, we just want you to know that the Passion Translation was delivered by God, the mandate for it, delivered through a supernatural encounter by God to Brian. It is not a paraphrase. It is actually a direct translation with footnotes, and it is amazing. In fact, the whole New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, is completed now, and you can get it by going on his website. His website is on the screen there, and you can order it today. It is absolutely amazing. God breathed into it. But today, we're going to talk about women.
That's a great topic.
I think it's an amazing topic.
Well, I love what you said, that in the beginning, God created man and woman in equal status. It says the creation of woman. Let's just take a second and talk about that. Mm-hmm. The creation of woman, God did not take a rib. That's not a really good translation. It says that God split Adam. He split the atom.
Wow.
He split Adam in two. He took a side of Adam. You could almost say he took half of man. And let me be the first to say the best half. He took the half of Adam and made and formed a woman. So if Adam is dust refined, the woman is doubly refined.
Wow.
So this masterpiece, this refined part of his creation was woman. And he said to Adam, this will be an ezer. She will be an ezer to you. The Hebrew word ezer is translated many times in the Old Testament as help, as helper. And God is our helper.
Yeah.
So God himself is described as ezer. So the same Hebrew word for what the woman's role is to be is the same Hebrew word for what God's role is to be.
And is it like the equivalent in the New Testament? Would it be like the helper, Holy Spirit?
That's a good thought. I hadn't thought of that. That's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Both spirit and soul in Hebrew and Greek is always feminine.
Mm-hmm.
The church is feminine. Jesus Christ is not coming back for a husband. He's coming back for a bride.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to feminize the church,
right,
but yet we've got to make room for the women of God to be raised up mm-hmm. biblically. As the scriptures say, they have a role of bringing a characteristic of God
right.
to the earth that the man often is unable to do so.
You know, God in Genesis 1, 27, he said he made man in his image and likeness, male and female created he them. So male and female equals man. But in verse 28, he says, and he blessed them. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, have dominion, fill the earth. The Lord spoke to me so clear. He said, until women actually come into their place, you will not see the full measure of kingdom fruitfulness or dominion in the earth manifest until both are together, because that's the oneness. It was like that's a full presentation of God, and one can't live without the other.
Oh, for sure. And the mandate to take dominion
mm-hmm.
was to them.
Right,
it wasn't just the man to take dominion over the earth, including the woman.
Right. And so God's breathing right now in this hour. There's such a move of the Spirit upon women. Again, not to overtake men or anything, but to come into their place so that we can see this full manifestation of the dominion of Jesus Christ. It's going to be amazing. But you were at Women on the Front Lines
mm-hmm.
in our last World Convention, and you opened the convention with the most awesome word out of the woman at the well. And I was blown away. I mean, everyone was on the edge of their seats. I mean, the revelation you carry regarding the scriptures is phenomenal. But this particular story just touched me so deeply. And I've heard feedback after feedback after feedback about how that message just was transforming. Can you break that open to us out of the Passion Translation?
I'll try to do it quickly. But the woman at the well is a wonderful picture of the Last Days Church. And she had a very messed up past. She had five husbands. Jesus sat on Jacob's well. And the Greek word is a spring-fed well. So it's a picture of the life of Jacob. The well, Jacob's life. That well, he sealed it. He was a lid to Jacob's well. Opened up a new well of living water. We're not going to drink from Jacob. We're going to drink from Jesus from here on. And the woman comes to get water, and Jesus engages her in this wonderful conversation. It's kind of humorous. He's talking about living water. She's thinking about the flesh. She's thinking about normal water and the well, and you don't have a bucket to get water, and are you greater than Jacob who gave us this well? Where you Jews say you worship in Jerusalem, we worship on this mountain over here. So she's all locked into her own realm. Jesus frees her when he says, go get your husband. And he then acknowledges to her a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, says, you've had five husbands. That's a powerful word of revelation right there. And you're living with someone who isn't. That would make Jesus the seventh, wouldn't it? He's the perfect one.
Wow.
And many people, and I just want to say to those watching, so many of us are locked into our five husbands. We're married to our five senses. So many times we're in the natural world, the natural realm, when God wants to bring supernatural power and life into us. The woman was converted 15 minutes with Jesus, and she was converted from the inside out. She went back, shook a city. She won a city to Jesus, the village of Sychar. And history tells us she went from place to place from that day forward, winning village after village to Jesus. She went down in history as one of the great apostles. The early church fathers listed the four preeminent apostles, Peter, James, John, Potini was her name. P-H-O-T-I-N-I,
I think Potini. Very few people know that.
They don't.
I didn't know that until you preached it.
I wonder why it was taken out. Why was that removed from our histories? I think it's because of a male insecurity that couldn't handle a woman that shook the world so powerfully that she was listed among Peter, James, and John as the greatest apostles to walk the earth. She indeed changed the world. One woman with a messed up past changed the known world.
Wow. Brian, I'm getting a word of knowledge right now that I just want to deliver. You're watching today and you're listening to this and you're really touched because you're a woman with an apostolic anointing on your life and an apostolic call. And you began to pursue it. And just this last little while, it might have even been within this last week or so, but it's this last, you know, recent past, you were brought before a council where there were leaders, men, challenging what you were doing for the Lord and demeaning you, demeaning your call and telling you to lay it down. And you are broken to this very moment. You are broken and you are watching this program because the Lord directed you here and He wants to comfort you. And He's telling you that He is with you. There's going to be some change coming. It's going to be painful change because He's going to reposition you and put you in a place where you have the covering that you need to be able to move forward. He says nothing is going to stop you from moving forward into what He's placed inside of you. He says to you, walk in love at this time. Humble yourself before Him. Do not show dishonor, only show honor. But He's going to take you by the hand and He's going to walk you out of the situation that you're in now and put you in the midst of a company that will protect and watch over and give you the proper covering that you need. This is a very strong, very clear prophetic word I'm getting right now. Mm-hmm. And so I release you. And in the name of Jesus, I break the shame that came upon you in that meeting. I break the fear. I break the hopelessness in Jesus' name. I lift it off of you now in Jesus' name. And the Lord says, nothing is going to stop you. Nothing will hold you back from the purpose that He has burnt on the inside of you. And you will fulfill that destiny purpose. He is with you. And that even though it's difficult, He will strengthen you in the journey. Whew. I had to release that one. That was, I was just, you know, it's so similar to what she must have walked through. I mean, I can't even imagine in her day what she would have walked through in the process of manifesting her calling.
You know, the first person to know the resurrection experientially was Mary, was a woman.
Yeah.
And she was told to go to Galilee and tell the men.
That's right.
And she was the first sent one.
Yeah,
apostle after the resurrection. She was an apostle to the apostles because she told them and they didn't believe at first. So it's amazing.
God is amazing. Still, you know, I've never thought about Mary with the apostolic anointing until you just said that right now. But it's true. She was sent directly by Jesus to the others.
We all know it is finished. That was the final statement of Christ on the cross to tell a story in the Greek language. It is finished. It is not in the text. It's just one word, finished. However, Jesus did not speak Greek on the cross.
Right.
We already know He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is Aramaic. So Jesus spoke His heart language. And that heart language was not tetelestoi. It was kala. The last word Jesus spoke was kala. Now, kala means finished, consummated, done, and it fits perfectly with tetelestoi. That's why they translated it that. However, kala has another meaning. It's called a homonym or a homophone, and it simply means that there's attached to that word a duality of meaning that is unrelated except how it's pronounced, the word is pronounced. So kala is the Hebrew word bride.
Wow.
The last word Jesus spoke on the cross was bride. Of course, it's finished, and we would never want to take something from you. It is finished. Thank God the work of our salvation was completed at the cross. But the word kala means bride. Who did he finish it for?
Wow.
His bride.
Wow.
Then he gave birth to her.
Yes.
Because blood and water,
yes,
which is part of childbirth,
right?
Blood and water spilled from his side at that incision where the spear pierced him. And it was through blood and water, John right. said, that we are born into the kingdom. We are born into the family.
And Adam's bride was taken
exactly,
from his side. Oh, wow.
We're the heavenly Eve, the bride at his side, from his side to be at his side forevermore. So the beautiful imagery of the bride of Christ, we've got to, you know, the men, I want to say to the men watching, we got to get over it, guys. We are all part of the bride of Christ. That doesn't make us any less masculine. It doesn't confuse our identity, who God's made us to be, but it completes us to know that I am a lookalike partner to the Son of God. I'm part of this bridal company of the last days that will bring him back, that will restore all things to the earth and release his glory as the waters cover the sea.
It's so amazing. I've always loved just meditating on this, is that like Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the King of Kings. And we've been chosen as his bride, which in a way we are co-rulers with him. But in a natural kingdom, the wife of the king is called the queen, right? But it's like to think that for all eternity, we rule and reign with Christ. We actually rule and reign with him. It's mind-boggling. It boggles my mind. I think, God, the entire universe is ruled by you, and we are in you at your side as this level of royalty. And it's like, it just is overwhelming to think it. And if you ponder it enough, you'll start to live differently.
Oh, my.
Right? When you know that,
it changes
in just a minute,
you.
I'm real royalty, not just normal royalty. I'm married to the King of Kings. There is no royalty higher than the royalty that I am one with. You start to live differently when you see yourself in that light.
I had a friend tell me one time, he said, you always are so encouraging. You're affirming everybody. You're telling them about the love of God. It's going to go to their head. And I said, I hope it does.
I hope it does.
I hope it gets into
exactly.
our heads, who we really are. And then we can walk in that tenderness of a bride to a bridegroom and reflect his glory. The glory of a husband is his wife, his bride. So as we walk in that glory realm with our King, we reflect him to the nations. That's our calling.
Beautiful. One of the things I love about the Passion Translation is your book of Song of Songs. It's like, wow, it just reveals the intimacy of the bride and the bridegroom, that oneness, that unity, that call. And I think that there's a lot of revelation. If any of you are looking to grow in that intimate union with Christ, that I think that there would be a lot of revelation in there for you. But I want to ask you about, in the book of Revelation, which you have some great teaching on your website on the book of Revelation and the different insights that God has given to you. But it says the bride makes herself ready.
Right.
Can you give us some insight into that scripture according to how God has been showing you things?
I don't think that necessarily means we have to put on makeup and go to a facelift.
Right.
I think it means spiritually we prepare our hearts to be the lookalike partner for the Son of God. Paul said the word endoxos. He said a radiant bride, that Jesus is coming back for a radiant bride. That means infused with glory. So until the bride is infused with glory, we can't expect Jesus' return until there is an awakened bride walking at his side, reflecting his glory, that is endoxos, infused with the glory of God. That's how we make ourselves ready, is we embrace God's glory. We embrace the process of being brought into this bridal passion, into this partnership with him. I love the Song of Songs. You mentioned it. It talks about the kiss, and I know people recoil when they think about God kissing them.
Right.
But yet, that kiss is what changes us.
Yes.
It's the intimacy of God's heart to our heart that is best reflected in the metaphor of a kiss.
Yeah.
But the word kiss, nashak in the Hebrew, can also mean, it's a homonym, it can mean to take up weapons and go to war.
Wow.
So as a man, that helps me understand. I need the kiss so I can go to battle. And you're not really a war here until you are a lover.
I've always loved it too. Like he kisses me with the kisses of his lips.
Yes.
And it's like his word, you know, like so often you can experience that in your own devotion with the Lord where you'll be, you know, reading the word, spending time with him. And all of a sudden that word comes to your heart and it's truly like you've been kissed. It's the entrance, like the entrance of that life just going right inside your spirit and connecting you.
It's a God
in intimacy. The God smack. That's a really good way to say it. I have a question. You know, it's awesome to be able to sit at a table with a Bible scholar. And he is a Bible scholar, a linguist, and, you know, I just so respect you. But what about the parable in Matthew where Jesus talks about the 10 virgins and 5 were ready and 5 were not? And when the bridegroom came, the 5 that were not, you know, didn't get to go. How do you unpack that?
Well, they all were the bride. They all were part of the bridegroom festivities. Jesus isn't polygamous. He has one bride, but in this case, the 10 picture our heart, our lives. Mm-hmm. 5 had oil. 5 bought oil. Jesus uses that word in Revelation to buy eyesalve, to buy gold, to buy clothing. Here, it's buying oil. That oil is the Holy Spirit. So the 5 that did not, they were not prepared for the feast, the wedding feast itself. It isn't that they weren't the bride. It's that they were not ready. The oil of God wasn't overflowing from their lives.
Wow.
And they weren't able to enter into that love feast with Jesus.
Wow. So the door was closed on them.
Yeah.
So what happened to them?
It's a good question.
The moral of the story is get your oil, right?
Get the oil, buy oil.
Yeah. Brian, do you have anything that you would want to address, especially to pastors today who are nurturing women into their calls, you know, the spiritual preparation for women to step into their calls, and especially there's issues today, even in the Western church, which is farther ahead than some, but with women in leadership positions and being officially as like senior pastors or apostles, prophets and that. Do you have any word for leaders and the process that God has women in this hour and the process he's nurturing the church in this
hour? I think I may. I think I do have a word. And I, you know, the more secure a man is in his marriage, the more affirming he will be to women. And I think the pastoral role of husband and wife has to be joint. It has to be combined where we present to the people the love relationship of Christ and his bride through the marriage relationship of a pastor and his wife. So the more secure as leaders you become, the more in your marriage, the more secure you are in affirming women. You know, every pastor knows this secret that 2/3 at least of your congregation are women. 80% of the servants of a local church are women. Mm-hmm. They're the intercessors. They're the ones that are there turning the lights off often. They're there serving, giving their heart. What general would not deploy their whole army in a battle? And in this case, we've got to deploy the women, not just affirm them, and we can say nice things, and that's always valid, but to deploy them, which means put them in place, let them take their rank and role in the church and in this advance of the kingdom. Let them be the cutting edge. Mm-hmm. Alongside of the men.
Come on.
Let them be the breakers. Let them be the birthers.
Amen.
Let them be those with insight. One of the roles of the woman is that word, ezer. The ancient Hebrew, every letter was a symbol. And if you put the symbols of ezer, E-Z-E-R, if you put those symbols together, you have the revealer of the enemy. Mm. So the role of the woman is to reveal the enemy. We've got to have intelligence behind the scenes. That's where God has put within the heart of many women that prophetic knowing, the discerning, the ability to intuitively discern where the enemy is coming at us. So yeah, I do encourage every male leader watching this, be a champion in your city, be a champion in your church. Affirm and deploy the women of God. You will be blessed. You won't be threatened. You know, you're going to be encouraged to see them take their role and take their place as mighty Deborahs, Esthers, the Mary of Magdalene that is known for eternity because of her devotion. It doesn't say Peter's devotion will be preached wherever the gospel goes. It says a woman's devotion will be preached forever through that act of surrender and devotion of Mary.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brian. You are a breath of fresh air to all, and I want to highly recommend you all getting his book. Go on his website and get the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, in the Passion Translation. I have a word of knowledge as we're closing right now for a pastor. You're a leader, and you've been in a denomination that did not celebrate women into places of senior leadership. And you have brought it up. You've got into trouble for it. There's wrestling. You've been, you know, looked down upon for it. And you are vexed in spirit right now. And I do feel like the Lord is going to show you another open door that you might have to go through, because I'm seeing a vision right now of you with suitcases and you're walking away. But as you do, to follow the Lord, to follow what he is revealing to you, you will not be sorry. It'll be a step of faith. It'll be a whole new realm that you're going to have to walk into. But, and you know that I'm talking to you. This isn't just a word for everyone that's watching. This is for a specific person that's watching right now. And you have that witness of the Spirit that this is for you and the Lord will be with you. We want to thank you for joining us on today's program. I want to invite you to join my A-Team mentorship program. It's an online mentorship program where I give you fresh teachings every month, plus daily input through a close Facebook group with only those who are in the mentorship program. If you want more information on that, go to patriciakingmentor.com. This is an hour for the body of Christ to be strong, to be nurtured, to be cheered on and celebrated so that we can move forward and manifest the glory of God in this day. I would love to mentor you. Go to patriciakingmentor.com. We'll see you next time. And in the meantime, remember this: God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does.
You have gifts. God expects you to use them. If you need training to school your gift, log on to schoolofthespirit.tv. You'll find training in spiritual warfare, prophetic ministry, prayer, seers ministry, writing, and so much more. Go to schoolofthespirit.tv today. You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.